Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Certainly others who were fighters on the battlefield of Kurukshetra were purified by the onslaught of Arjuna's arrows. And while seeing the lotus-like face of Krishna, so pleasing to the eyes, they achieved the abode of the Lord. Purport, long purport, so please bear with me. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, appears in this world for two missionary purposes, to deliver the faithful and to annihilate the miscreants. But because the Lord is absolute, his two different kinds of actions, although apparently different, are ultimately one and the same. His annihilation of a person like Shishupa is as auspicious as his actions for the protection of the faithful. All the warriors who fought against Arjuna, but who were able to see the lotus-like face of the Lord on the battlefield, achieved the abode of the Lord, exactly as the devotees of the Lord do. The words pleasing to the eyes of the seer are very significant. When the warriors from the other side of the battlefield saw Lord Krishna at the front, they appreciated his beauty, and the dormant instinct of love of God was awakened. Shushipal saw the Lord also, but he saw him as his enemy, and his love was not awakened. Therefore, Shushipal achieved oneness with the Lord by merging in impersonal glare of his body, called the Brahma Jyoti. Others who were in the marginal position, being neither friends nor enemies, but slightly in love of Godhead by appreciating the beauty of his face, were at once promoted to the spiritual planets, the Vaikunthas. The Lord's personal abode is called Goloka Vrindavan, and the abodes where his plenary expansion reside are called the Vaikunthas, where the Lord is present as Narayan. Love of Godhead is dormant in every living entity, and entire process of devotional service unto the Lord is meant for awakening this dormant eternal love of Godhead. But there are three degrees of such transcendental awakening. Those whose love of God is awakened to the fullest extent go back to the Goloka of Vrindavan planet in the spiritual sky, whereas persons who have just awakened to love of Godhead by accident or association are transferred to the Vaikuntha planets. Essentially, there is no material difference between Goloka and Vaikuntha, but in the Vaikunthas, the Lord is served in unlimited opulence, whereas in Goloka, the Lord is served in natural affection. This love of God is awakened by the association of pure devotees of the Lord. Here, the word patastraputaha is significant. Those who saw the beautiful face of the Lord on the battlefield of Kurukshetra were purified first by Arjuna when he made his onslaught with arrows. The Lord appeared for the mission of diminishing the burden of the world, and Arjuna was assisting the Lord by fighting on his behalf. Arjuna personally declined to fight, and the old instruction of the Bhagavad Gita was given to Arjuna to engage him in the fight. As a pure devotee of the Lord, Arjuna agreed to fight in preference to his own decision, and thus Arjuna fought to assist the Lord in his mission of diminishing the burden of the world. All the activities of a pure devotee are executed on behalf of the Lord because a pure devotee of the Lord has nothing to do for his personal interest. Arjuna's killing was as good as killing by the Lord himself. As soon as Arjuna shot an arrow at an enemy, that enemy became purified of all material contamination and became eligible to be transferred to the spiritual sky. Those warriors who appreciated the lotus feet of the Lord and saw his face at the front had the dormant love of God awakened. And thus they were transferred at once to Vaikuntha Loka. not to the impersonal state of Brahma Jyoti as Shishupal. Shishupal died without appreciating the Lord, while others died with appreciation of the Lord. Both were transferred to the spiritual sky, but those who awakened to love of God were transferred to the planets of the transcendental sky. Uddhava seemingly lamented that his own position was less than that of the warriors on the battlefield of Kurukshetra because they had attained to Vaikuntha, whereas he remained to lament the disappearance of the Lord. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksurun Malitanjena Tasmay Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamayam Dadati Svaparantika Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Kuran Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Ushakavitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchina Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Aripri Vancha Kalpataru Vishchark Pasundhu Vyavcha Padita Nam Pavani Bhyo Vaishna Bhyo Namo Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Viranta Swami Tinamani Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Pasvichada Satarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasari Guru Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this verse is talking about the fight on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And it's funny, there's two different armies on the battlefield. One is fighting for religiosity, and the other irreligiosity. So there's two fighters there. And the famous opposition fighters, you can see how on the battlefield, is Dhritarashtra, who is actually the king, the father of the gurus. Although they were family, the Kurus and the Pandavas were one family, still he separated them, the Kurus, as a separate family from the Pandavas. And it's explained, this is, we're going back to the first chapter, setting the scene of the Bhagavad Gita. And there it's explained in Bhagavad Gita 1-2 that Dhritarashtra wasn't just blind, he was blind from birth. He wasn't just blind physically, but spiritually he was also blind. Then there was Dronacharya. Dronacharya was the son of Dhritarashtra, was a very great diplomat. And although he had very strong opponents on his side, not all of them were in favor of this battle, but due to duty to Duryodhana, they stayed on his side. So, but he was, when the conch shell were blowing, he was in a little fearful. He wasn't sure, you know, about him winning the battle when he heard Krishna blowing his, you know, Panchajanya conch shell. And then he went to talk to Drona. He spoke to Drona. He said, because you've been the teacher, Drona was on the side of Duryodhana as well. He was a commander-in-chief, he was a Brahmin. At the same time, he had the knowledge of military arts. And he was equal to all the fighters, even though he knew Dhristadyumna was on the side of the Pandavas, and Dhristadyumna was the son of Draupada. There was some conflict between Draupada and Drona. We won't get into that, but Drona was training everyone, and he was even training Dhristadyumna, who was on the side of the Pandavas. And he knew for a fact that although he was giving Drishtadyumna all this training, he knew that he was going to be killed by Drishtadyumna at some point, because that was the desire of Draupada, the father. So there was grandfather Bhishma, who was very, very most experienced general on the side of Duryodhana, and a fighter, and still, but because he was a little advanced in age, then Duryodhana was a little more concerned about this. So he spoke to Karna, who was on his side as well. Karna and Drona to be a little protective over Bhishma, because he was older. So Karna was the half-brother of the Pandavas, and because of his upbringing and the circumstances he was, because he wasn't like treated as the Pandavas growing up with Mother Kunti, he felt some grudge there against them. So he was on the side of Duryodhana. And then, of course, you got the Pandavas, who is portraying religious principles. And there was Krishna, the absolute truth, as the chariot driver. And then you got Arjuna there. And then you got all of other brothers, the Pandavas. Then you got Drishtadyumna, who was the commander-in-chief. He was setting the warriors in a very strategic way. So, you know, the fight would go on the way it's expected. And then you got Bhima on the righteous side, who was very powerful. He was feared by Duryodhana, actually, because he knew that, Duryodhana knew that he was going to be killed by Bhima. And then, of course, we spoke about Draupada and Drishtadyumna. So Prabhupada talks about, here he says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, appears in this world for two missionary purposes, to deliver the faithful and to enlighten the miscreants. So because the Lord is absolute, is two different kinds of actions, although apparently different, are ultimately one and the same. So this few lines here is referring more to Bhagavad Gita 4.6, 4.7, and 4.8. So we'll turn to that, which is very interesting. 4.7 is Yada yada idharmasya glanir bhavati bharata adbhutanam adharmasya chijamyaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice or descendant of Bharata, at that and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. So Prabhupada explains here, because some people argue that Krishna came down, he's an ordinary person. Sometimes some people say it's a myth, mythology, others say he's an ordinary person. But Prabhupada explains here, the word Shijami is significant here. Shijami cannot be used in the sense of creation, because according to the previous verse, there is no creation of the Lord's form or the body. So the previous verse was, although I am unborn, this is text 6, although I am unborn and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am the Lord of all living entities, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. So this makes it very clear that Krishna is not an ordinary person. He's the Supreme Personality of the Godhead. He's the creator, protector, and the annihilator. So Prabhupada says in the purport that the Lord has spoken about the peculiarity of his birth. Although he may appear like an ordinary person, he remembers everything of his many, many past births, whereas a common man cannot remember what he has done even a few hours before. If someone is asked what he did exactly at the time, same time one day earlier, it would be very difficult for a common man to answer immediately. What to speak about a day before? Sometimes someone speaks to us 5 minutes before and, you know, we read something in the book, we forget. So I make a mistake with 1866 and 1867, 1865 and 1866. No matter how many times I look at the verse, I think, which is first, Manmana Bhavabha Mad Bhakto or Sarvadham Parichacha? All the time I have to open my book and is it 66 or which one comes first? So it's very difficult to remember, and sometimes we've asked, like, you know, when you give a class, you always give reference. Sadanandini, you always give reference for whatever you talk about. So it is very, very difficult, unless you study thoroughly the books, to be able to have acute, remembrance of everything. And the chapter we're doing now is actually remembrance of Lord Krishna. I mean, if we can't remember what we read and what devotees speak to us about within 5 or 10 minutes, how difficult it must be to remember Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes. It's very, very difficult. So we'll go further. So, yeah, and then the other verse is 4748. That was 4647. Yada yada idharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhutanam adharmasya tadatmanam shijamyaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharat, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. So Krishna's descent is very wonderful, absolutely wonderful. It's showing, like in the pages of Bhagavad Gita, in Srimad Bhagavatam, and this present text we're reading, how Krishna is equal to not only the demons, but he is equal to the devotees as well. Whenever Krishna kills, he kills for liberation. And Arjuna is killing here, and through Arjuna, the warriors are becoming liberated because he's so connected to Krishna. Arjuna is so connected to Krishna that when he is shooting his arrows, it appears like Krishna is shooting the arrows. And the people, and because Krishna is sitting in the front of the chariot, so when he's driving the chariot for Arjuna, all the warriors that are coming in front, they're seeing Krishna first. And they're seeing his beauty, and we'll talk about the description of Krishna's beauty. They're seeing his beautiful form, his lotus eyes, the hue that is coming from his body, the bluish hue coming out of his body. It's explained that some of them, they were so mesmerized by Krishna's beauty, they forgot to fight. They were falling down. And they were being shot by these arrows. Obviously, these arrows that were being shot, explained in the verse that some of them went straight back home, back to Godhead. Some of them, merged into the Brahma Jyoti. Some of them went to Vaikuntha planets. And it's very encouraging for us, actually. We think, like, you know, people on the opposition, they are fighting for such irreligious reason because Duryodhana was so envious of the Pandavas. He said, you won't get, he's usurping the property of the Pandavas, actually. And this is due to his father as well, who was showing some favor towards him. And it was Sanjaya that was giving the whole the scene of the battle of Kurukshetra to Dhritarashtra, because he had some mystic power. He was this disciple of Vyasadeva, so he had some mystical power where he could see the battlefield, although it was with Dhritarashtra. So, yeah, Duryodhana was like very envious, very bad character, but still, you know, so atrocious character. Just by shooting arrows at them, they got liberated. So you can see how Krishna is so kind to his devotees. He doesn't differentiate who's bad, who's good. So I just wanted to, you know, Krishna's beauty. We sing every morning the Govindam prayers. And I was thinking, how often do we, because we sing it every day, every day, every day, it becomes like a mechanical thing, you know. Oh, it's greeting of the deities. Now, we sing the Govindam prayers, but we like so interested in looking what's going on in the altar. We forget the actual words and the meanings of what we sing. And I was thinking, what the words and the meanings of the Govindam prayers that we sing in the morning, that's the description that's given in this verse about the eyes, the lotus face, and all the great features. So I thought maybe we should go a little bit into this verse, the Govindam prayers, the Brahma Samhita by Lord Brahma, and then be a little more conscious, you know, when we see the deities, and actually know the meaning of each word. Then we can look at Krishna's eyes. Oh yes, his eyes look like lotus petals. And his curly black hair is called Keshava. That's why he's called Keshava, because of his curly black hair. So if we know the meanings of the song, then the song becomes alive. And then we're able to see Krishna with his full description in the song. So it says, Vainam Kanvantam Aravinda Dalaya Taksham. Who knows the meaning of the whole verse of that song when they're singing? Anyone? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I know some words, but not all of it. So it says that Vainam, everyone knows what's Vainam, right? It's a flute. And Kanvantam, adept in playing, he's adept in playing this flute. Aravinda is the lotus petals. Ayata is large. Aksham is eyes. Netraya sometimes means eyes as well. Bharha is the peacock's tail or feather. Avatamsam, ornament worn on the head. Asita is the dark blue. Ambuda, clouds. Sundara is beautiful. Vainam Kanvantam Aravinda Dalaya Taksham Bar Avatam Samasitam Adbhuta Sundaram. Beautiful. Sundaram is beautiful. Angam, whose figure, his bodily figure. And then Kanda, Kandarpa. What's Kandarpa? Cupid, yeah. Koti, millions. Kamaya, desire. Vishesha means unique. It's very unique. Sobham, loveliness, his loveliness. Govindam, anyway, everyone knows that. Govinda. Adi. Sorry? Yeah, Adi is original. He's the original person. Purusham is the original person. Tam? Him. Aham? That's easy. I. Bajami? Yes, worship. So he says, Vainam Kanvantam Aravinda Dalaya Taksham Bharavatam Samasitam Adbhuta Sundarangam Kanda Pakoti Kamaniya Vishesha Sobham Govinda Mari Purusham Tamam Bajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is adept in playing on his flute, with blooming eyes like lotus petals, with the head bedecked with a peacock feather, with the figure of beauty tinged with blue, with the hue of blue clouds, and his unique loveliness charming millions of cupids. Isn't that beautiful? So you're looking at Krishna, you're looking at his eyes, you're looking at his flute, you're looking at his body and the peacock feather. All these things is describing his loveliness. And this is what the warriors saw when they were approaching Krishna. It was so relishable, so beautiful, they were actually drinking the nectar of Krishna's body when they were looking. So, what's the next verse for greeting of the deities? Angani yasya sakalendriya vritimanti pasyanti panti kalayanti chiram jaganti ananda chinmaya sadujvala vigrahasya Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Beautiful, beautiful song. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Sita Ram Lakshman Hanumana Ki Jai. Shri Shri Gonitai Ki Jai. So here it explains Angani, it's the limbs of the body. Yasya Uz, Sakala, all, Indriya, the sense organs. Vritami, function. Pasyanti is to see. Panti, maintain. Kalyanti, regulate. Chiram, for a long time. Jaganti, the universes. Ananda, bliss. Chit, truth. Maya, full of. Sat, substantially, existence. Ujvala? Anyone know what's Ujvala? Effulgent, vigrahasya, is form, Govinda Madi Purusham, Tamaham Bhajami. So, this one, translate to, I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, whose transcendental form is full of bliss, truth, substantiality, and is thus full of the most dazzling splendor. Each of his limbs of that transcendental figure possesses in himself the full-fledged function of all the organs and eternally sees, maintains, and manifests the infinite universes, both spiritual and mundane. So it's very, very difficult to understand that there's impersonalists that don't understand the personal form of the Lord. With this description in the Brahma Samhita, it's very difficult to understand. But they have their arguments, therefore Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Srila Prabhupada said it's very dangerous to be in their association or hear from them, because it can be very contagious, their preaching, you know, it could change your mind. So therefore we stick to the process of devotional service as given by Srila Prabhupada. So I was looking, even, you know, I was studying and then I was doing some research work. I went on to like ISKCON Desire Tree and I was thinking, you know, in our books we give Nishimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, we have Krishna himself telling us that he is the Supreme Personal, he is the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita. Aham sarvasya prabhavo, he says, I am the source of all spiritual and material world. 1865 and 1866, he says, you know, always remember me, think of me, you will come to me, abandon all varieties of religion, I shall protect you. And he's showing very clearly he is God. So while I was reading this, even they had like a quote from the Bible, and I was quite surprised because I looked at it, and Solomon, in the Song of Solomon 5:10-5:16, the Bible explains that Krishna is a person. And I thought, oh, this is very interesting. This is in Solomon 5:10-16, he says, my beloved is white and ruddy, the chief amongst 10,000. His head is as his head is as the most fine gold, and his locks are bushy and black. So there is like comparisons, you know, from the description. And his eyes, as raven, his eyes are as the eyes of doves, or we say lotus petals, by the rivers of waters washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. We don't know what color the spices are, but in Damodarasikam, we sing the prayer, his lips are as a bimba fruit, you know, reddish as a bimba fruit. And it says his lips are like lilies dropping sweet smells. I thought this description was so beautiful, but it just made me think of Krishna. His hands are with gold rings, and I was thinking of Krishna's earrings. He's always got like shark-shaped earrings. He got, you know, bracelets, he got rings. So he's explaining here that, you know, he got gold. And his belly is as bright as ivory and laden with sapphires. So the list goes on. He's describing God in this form. You know, his belly, his limbs, his hair. So, and then in the end, Solomon says that this is my beloved Lord. He says, this is my friend. He is altogether lovely. Isn't that beautiful? And you think like Prabhupada, you'd never ever criticized any religious organization separate from the Hare Krishnas or Hinduism, whatever. He said, every religion has something to give, you know. There is something there to give, you know, when you read it, you know. So, yeah, I thought that was interesting. And then, I was listening to Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj. He was giving a class on this. But he went into more the remembrance of Krishna, which was very good. But the remembrance of Krishna actually comes from Shravanam and Kirtanam. Shravanam is from hearing. Unless we hear properly, it's very difficult for purification of the heart to take place. So Shravanam, Kirtanam. Shravanam and Kirtanam is almost on the same level. Kirtanam is also hearing, and Shravanam is hearing. And then from hearing and chanting, when you purify the heart, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, then you get into worshipping the deities, Vishnu. Then comes Smaranam, first, second, third, fourth. Then you'd be able to remember. So he was saying, our smaranam is our bhajan based on our ability to remember Krishna. And to remember Krishna starts with the chanting of the holy name. Cheto darpanam marjanam bhava maha devagni nirvapanam. This chanting purifies the heart just like cleansing the heart of all the impurities like a blazing fire, like Lord Chaitanya says, Cheto Darpanam Marjanam. So the holy name is coming directly from the spiritual world, directly. Goloka Rapremadana Harinama Sankirtan. So this is no ordinary feat what we are embarking on, unless we are consciously doing the things we asked to do, we're not going to get anywhere in our devotional service. We cannot climb the ladder, we'll be stagnant. So the name of the holy name cannot be caught up by our dull senses, which manifest on our tongues. It's like when we chant Hare Krishna, unless we see Krishna as non-different to his name, it will be very difficult for purification to take place, because the name manifests itself in the tongue. And then by chanting his name, Krishna, when you're conscious of him, remembering him at all times, then that name dances on the tongue. So in this way we can understand. So unless Bhakti Vigyan Maharaja is listening to his class, you know, the names are not just syllables. They transcendental names, and they have a form to it. The name has a form, and that is Krishna. So unless we surrender and we awaken ourselves to this chanting process, to this hearing process, to worshipping, follow, you know, all these processes according to scripture, according to the teachings by Guru Parampara, then that ecstasy happens. The ecstasy for devotional service, for the name, for remembering, everything happens, everything automatically opens. Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter, I think it was in 1968, to Brahmananda. He was saying, if one remembers, if one simply remembers Krishna and accepts that he is fully in control, then automatically fortune will be present. So, you know, and another letter he wrote to Janaki, I think in 1960, he said, if one is meek and humble, the doors of the kingdom of God is open. Humble and meek, you know, we should Trinadapi Sunichaina Tarurapi Saishana Amani Namana Dena Kirtanya Sadari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw of the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all strength of false prestige, and ready to offer respects to all others. Respect to all others, not only to devotees, not only to friends, not only to who we like, who we don't like, but to everyone. And most of all, we need to be conscious of what we're doing. What Prabhupada would say is, before actually being Krishna conscious, become conscious of everything around you. So yeah, we have to be conscious with every little thing, then we can, you know, be conscious of Krishna. So Krishna has all the Shaktis. He's fully independent. His name, his form, his qualities, his pastime, everything is on the absolute platform. So Shushipal, he hated Krishna, actually. I mean, even right to the end, he was looking at Krishna with dislike, hate. He didn't like Krishna. Still, he got liberation. He entered into the body of Krishna, emerged into Krishna's body, and the spark came up. You listened in yesterday's class how the spark came out of his body and entered Krishna's body. So all these demons are getting liberation. I mean, sometimes you may think, you know, I'm favorable to Krishna, you know, where do I stand in this? But we can't be too ambitious in this, because the material world can just pull us back, you know, when we're comfortable and we think we got it all reading. If demons can be protected, oh, I'm a devotee, I can go back home, back to Godhead, you know, without doing anything. But it's hard work. It's hard work. We have to persevere and put the endeavor. But when you read about these demons that get liberated, it's amazing. Like Putana, she used to kill babies and eat babies, you know. And Krishna, you know, was drinking her breast milk, but he sucked the life force out of her, but she got liberation, you know, to the spiritual world. So we're very, very fortunate that we have a favorable kind of feelings towards Krishna in our worship, but our only kind of prayer is that we should always be conscious and remember Krishna in our everyday activities, be they sometimes mundane, be they materialistic, whatever the case may be, but we should be able to see Krishna's hand in every little thing we do. Whether we're in the temple or outside the temple, if we're conscious of this, then in due course of time, our life will be successful. But whether we're performing our duty to the fullest of our ability, following all the rules and regulations, chanting our rounds, doing our duty, doing our services, whatever the case may be, ultimately, it's up to the mercy of the Lord whether we get that kind of blessings to make advancement or not. Like Uddhava, he had all the ecstatic symptoms, you know, that you can think of. And Vidura could see this in him. He could see he was pure, pure at heart, because he was thinking of Krishna 24 hours. Since he was a little boy, he was playing with Krishna's toys. His toys were of the forms of Krishna, Krishna dolls he was playing. As he was growing up, he remembered Krishna all the time. When he saw Uddhava, when Uddhava saw Vidura just asked, you know, what's happening in Mathura. And then he was saying, not Mathura, Dwarka. And he couldn't speak. He was stunned. He was thinking of Krishna. And then he got all the ecstatic symptoms in his body. So, you know, when will that be day come? When will that day be mine? We should be praying, you know. I mean, we shouldn't be impatient. Krishna will do things in his own time. But time is going. I'll stop there. If anyone got anything to add or any question or comments on today's subject. Prayojana Prabhu.
It's really based on a Radhanath Swami quote. He asked, we should ask ourselves, what is the most important thing? And he said, yes. So think about this. So, and I asked myself, what is the most important thing? And he said, what I'm doing now. Yeah. And that is living in, not in the past, not in the future, which is Krishna's anyway. The past is gone. Mm-hmm. The future is Krishna's. So, but that leaves the present. But it occurs to me also in japa, if we are attentive to each mantra, that's living in the now. Not to get you round. It's a motive that you just hear each mantra. And that will bring about, it certainly helped me a lot to just try to get these mantras complete. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
At first, it feels like you're being slow, but that doesn't matter. It's the attentive chanting. Mm-hmm. Is that, and that's what Prabhupada does. He says, just hear. And that's all the great acharyas say, too. Prabhupada's godfather was the same. He was asked, Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj. He was friends with Prabhupada, and he said that he was asked the question about japa. He says, do you see Krishna? And he said, No. And he said, how come you've been chanting for years? You're over 100 years old. And he said, because I just hear. I just hear.
Thank you, Priyojana. Radha Sangha.
I was listening to Srila Prabhupada yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, you were saying everyone on the battlefield went back to Godhead, and he was saying that story where Duryodhan was sort of saying to Bhishma that you're not fighting. He was insinuating that you're not fighting with all your strength. And Bhishma said, I'll give you these 5 arrows and I will kill the Pandavas before the sunset or something. And he was looking after the arrows for him. And then Krishna told, I think it was Arjuna, to, because he had a, he owed him a favour, to go and beg for the arrows. And he, Prabhupada was saying at night, they were all friends. So he went over there and he said to him, what can I give you? I can give you the kingdom. I can, and he asked for the arrows. So it's kind of like a different yuga, even though they're on the battlefield and they're on the other side. Their principles and their dharma was on such a different level to us. Even the demons followed
etiquette, yeah.
Certain principles and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's funny because I just heard that yesterday.
Right, that's beautiful. Thank you. Yeah, the wars today are different, isn't it? They're enemies. There's no coming together in the evening and intermingling. No.
Hare Krishna.
I have 2 questions if we have time for that.
Yes, sure.
The first is coming from the Mahabharata story.
Yes.
Which I try to imagine, how is it possible to see Krishna for everyone, or at least those who killed by Arjuna, because the numbers are huge there. So if we are talking about 640 million soldiers, that's it, divided to 18 days, it's 35.5 something million every day on that battlefield. So what do you think? What do you heard about it? How is it possible? You know, it's really, really hard to imagine even that scale for one day.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay, there is no comparison to our small minds to compare the war here in this material world to the war at Kurukshetra. Kurukshetra is a different place altogether, transcendental, and Krishna is there. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Achyuta. Achyuta means inconceivable. You know, anything that happens on a spiritual platform, to compare it on a material level to our minds, it's very difficult. Sometimes it's explained that Lord Chaitanya sat on his mother's lap when he was an adult at 24, and the milk from her breast was overflowing. It's very hard. How are you going to feed a 24-year-old? Krishna as well would sit on his mother's lap when he was older. And you would think, oh, this is happening. But on a spiritual level, it's very, very difficult. Certain things you can understand, but when you compare it to our lifestyle here in the material world, to, you know, the spiritual realm, then it's inconceivable. You can't understand. They say Lord Chaitanya was army feet tall, was like 7 or 8 foot tall. He was very tall, and his arms came right down to his knees. So all these things are very difficult. Even the warriors, when you read about the size of the warriors, You know, you can't compare them to the warriors of today, you know. Huge. Yeah. Is that okay? Answer. Yeah, thank you. What was your next question?
Srila Prabhupada states here a few very interesting things. For example, if you don't mind, I would like to quote him word by word. Those whose love of God is awakened to the fullest extent go back to the Goloka Vrindavan planet in the spiritual sky. So, fullest.
Yeah.
That means that I'm not going to go back at this lifetime, probably. Whereas persons who have just awakened to love of Godhead by accident or association are transferred to the Vaikuntha planets.
Mm-hmm.
So our love, let's say, for a very, very little extent, awakened by association.
Mm-hmm.
So my destiny, it seems like, is Vaikuntha. However, I don't want to go there.
So it's not up to you, Prabhu. But saying that, you only know at the time of death. It's explained at the time of death. How you leave your body is very significant. Because, you know, some people have left the movement for a long, long time. And some of them are very old, and now they get sick, they're diseased, they, you know. But they go and die in Vrindavan. You know, they leave the bodies in Vrindavan or Mayapur. So whatever happens in our life is inconceivable. At the time of death, when you're surrounded by devotees and they're giving you tulsi leaf, you're chewing on tulsi leaf, they're giving you like garlands of flowers, they're putting sandalwood, they're making you remember. Krishna says, whoever thinks of me, come to me. Manmana bhava madbhakto majyaji mam namaskaro mam evyasasi satyam tu prajajani priyo sami. Always think of me, become my devotee, offer your homage. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this, because you're my dear friend. So if you have all these devotees, I remember one devotee, she had a video playing in front of her with, you know, Krishna video. Then she had all the devotees singing, chanting Hare Krishna. And then she wouldn't let go of her beads, and she had neck beads and everything. So how can you say that she went somewhere else when she has all these things, you know? No, I'm not you. I'm just saying, generally speaking, how can one say that this person, you know, didn't go? So even like these persons he's talking about, they're going like full, you said, fully awakened. If they're fully awakened, they're going back to Goloka Vrindavan. We can also be fully awakened at the time of death. You know, we so like devastated by our life in this material world, and we can take complete shelter of Krishna and his devotees. It's not impossible.
Guru Maharaj says that prema actually what we can have in this material body is not so hard. It's, I don't know if that's fully extended, it comes fully extended or not. So Guru Maharaj says that bhava is not so because prema will destroy this body. That's it.
Well, then they say you'll have to take your one birth in Krishna's pastime before you go back. But still with Krishna, what, you know, you take birth in Vrindavan, one life, and you go back home, back to Godhead. Yeah. No. Okay. All right, anything else? Late quarter to. Is there somebody else? Okay. Granta Rajshimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.